Paul Plakas from Custom Fit. Want to look good, eat good, feel good? Go to customfit.ca, and they will set you up with a program that works for you. Plakas, how are you doing?
Gregor, doing pretty good, thank you.
Well, we were talking about excruciating conditions for the firefighters, and it definitely is. And, you know, those guys are working out and training all the time to stay in shape for stuff like this. And one of the things, you know, is kind of cross-training, you know, pros and cons, because I think both have pros for maybe doing a singular sport or singular activity for training. In your eye, what's the biggest pros of cross-training?
Okay, well, the biggest thing is, so basically cross-training basically would mean doing a variety of different activities for your general health and fitness rather than solely relying on just one activity for your health and fitness. So cross-training, the biggest benefit is that it generally prevents you from repetitive stress injury. So, for example, if you're a very avid runner and that's what you do and you like to run 5 days a week, various miles and terrains and stuff like that. No, it's good exercise, but you're always using the same muscle groups in the same manner, thousands of repetitions over and over again. So when you're constantly using the same muscle groups, certain muscles become very tight and others are often neglected, which become weak. And that creates muscular imbalances throughout the entire body. And it's very rare that you see a runner who's been doing it for a long time and has built up their distance and mileage and race that has not been injured at some point in their lives, whether it's plantar fasciitis, whether it's IT band syndrome, patellar femoral syndrome. It's because of not cross-training and taking care of the muscular imbalances that develop from doing a singular sport. That's probably the biggest one, I would say.
Well, that's obviously a big benefit. What about long-term injury or adherence to exercise? Is that a benefit at all?
Yeah, that's absolutely. I would think that I think that some people fall in love with one thing and they get very passionate about it, because I think some people they gravitate to things that they're good at. So people who have, for example, narrow hips, are lighter and just have fairly good running mechanics at an early age, they kind of like running because they're good at it relative to other people. But for most people, I think what happens is a lot of people get bored doing the same thing over and over again if it's just for general health and fitness. A variety of activity is more enjoyable, even though they may not be as good at some activities than others. But doing something different where you don't have to force yourself to do something that you're maybe not so passionate about. So doing what you desire on the day, depending on the weather. Say if it's a really nice day, you're going to be outside. Maybe on a bad day, you're more inside. And you develop the skills to do a lot more of a variety of different activities than just being better at that at one activity. So that's sort of the trade-off, either getting really, really good at one thing or being pretty good at a whole bunch of things.
So let's say you're inefficient at a new activity. Is there a benefit to that?
Well, at the beginning, the benefit is that you're burning a lot more calories for the relative intensity for the same for somebody who's better at that activity. So, for example, if I'm going to go skating around a rink and I'm just, say, doing laps, and all of a sudden I'm skating beside, say, for example, a really good skater like a professional hockey player, I'm going to, at their speed, they're working probably at 50% of their max heart rate, where I'm probably going to be working at 80 to 90% of my max heart rate, just trying to go the same speed because they're much more efficient at it. So if you're not good at something at the beginning, you burn a lot more calories trying to become more efficient. And then as you become more efficient, then you can go a lot faster and to get your heart rate to those higher intensity levels.
Paul Plakas joins us from Custom Fit. Want to look good, eat good, feel good? Go to customfit.ca. Now, what about the cons of CrossFit?
Of cross-training? Yes. So one of the cons of always switching up your exercise too much, and this happens quite a bit with weight training, is that once you develop the skills and the neuromuscular efficiency to do something, and then you just get a little bit good at it and you switch from it too quickly, what happens is whatever you switch over to, you have to go through that whole learning process over again. So sometimes your intensity you have to reduce your intensity again and then build it right back up to the point where you were good at before. So if you're constantly changing and your intensity is lower than what you were used to, you actually become stagnant in your fitness, or you might even drop in your strength gains. So it would be like, for example, if you're deadlifting and you just started deadlifting a little bit. You're starting to get pretty good at it. You started building up your weights a little bit. Then all of a sudden you stop deadlifting and try doing something different. You kind of have to rebuild all those deadlifting base levels of strength again from the beginning before you get really good at it. If you switch to something you're not so good at, it may take you a while to get good at it, so your intensity level has to drop till you learn the skill. So your fitness improvements and your muscular strength and gain improvements might be delayed if you're always changing the movements and decreasing the workload.
So let's say you just you want to improve your leg strength, and obviously you do different things from squats to lunges to deadlift. Those are kind of some of the basic ones, and there's a lot of many other things. You know, one like is just switching to one-legged that much of a change that you can see gains from? Like, how much time does a person have to get comfortable on two legs before they go to one leg successfully?
Yeah, I think it varies from person to person and the different sizes, if there's any kind of injuries present, just also good neuromuscular efficiency, that kind of thing. But I definitely think people should do that. But I think you should keep your good base solid movements, like the basic movements like in the weight room are like, you know, your squats, your bench presses, your deadlifts, your overhead presses, your barbell rows. I think those are good staple movements that you should probably do fairly regularly keep your good strength levels. But you also, switching to those one-legged movements are great because, again, it connects that nervous system with the muscular system. It helps with uneven strength from one side to the other side, and it helps develop good alignment through the ankle, knee, and hip, and your core. And if you're trying to do any kind of sporting activities in your life, recreationally or more advanced stuff, a lot of times you are on one leg and you have to change directions quickly. So it could be a little bit more functional and sport-specific, you know, doing some one-legged stuff than always just doing two-legged stuff.
Black is always good stuff, man. We appreciate it. Stay warm.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.